Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The rose petals and seeds have been swept away, but memories of the 2018 Rose Parade are still fresh in the minds of farmers across the nation. The Ag PhD float was one of only 18 commercial floats featured in the parade. It was a salute to American farmers, and it was awarded the Wrigley Legacy Award. Ag PhD has been on television for 20 years now. Ag PhD Radio, celebrating its fifth year. Brian Hefty is one of the creators and hosts of Ag PhD. He and his brother Darren own Hefty Seeds Company near Baltic, and Brian Hefty is with us now on the phone. Brian, thanks for being here.
You bet. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And I'm one of many, I'm sure you hear this all the time, non-farmers who love Ag PhD and tune in to watch stories that really have so much to do with me in some ways because of what farmers do, but nothing to do with my day-to-day.
We do hear that from time to time, yes. And I have been surprised at the number of non-farmers that watch our show. But, you know, you think about the connection that people still have to agriculture. There are so many non-farmers who had a dad or a grandpa or a great-grandpa or somebody who was a farmer at one time. Or for that matter, I mean, just friends who are farmers. And I mean, it's kind of interesting. People want to know where their food comes from today, and they want to know some of the practices that farmers are using to produce that food.
And these are the moments as well that I think I realized as a viewer that it was different than what was happening in my imagination. You know, I had gardened, and so you had this sense of the artistry, but then the science came forth and the statistics and the data crunching and the chemistry and all these things. And it's really about modern agriculture as well.
Well, you know, when you think about the big acre crops in the United States, too, the ones that we typically deal with and the ones that we produce on our farm, and I'm talking corn, soybeans, and wheat, yep, you mentioned the science, but the other big thing is just the size. So let me put it to you this way. An ear of corn is only worth about 2 cents. And so you think about what a farmer really has to do if he's going to do all that work to produce something that's only worth 2 cents. Just think of all the ears of corn that he has to be able to process through. I mean, it would be just like a manufacturing facility that's going to have, you know, 10 things go through it. Well, they can't do that. They have to have millions of things go through it in order for it to be worthwhile. So, yes, there's a lot that goes into it, but, I mean, just the amount of mass that it takes just to survive on the farm anymore, it's really kind of unbelievable when you stop and think about it. It's trillions of soybean seeds you've got to harvest. It's, you know, millions of ears of corn you've got to harvest just to survive.
So when we talk about scale and massiveness, let's talk about this float for a few moments because it was not small. And give us an idea of the overall scope of the float that you brought down the street at the Rose Parade.
Yeah, so it was 110 feet long, 18 feet wide, and at its peak it was 30 feet high. It was the second longest float in the Rose Parade. Well, part of the reason we wanted to have it long, I mean, big, is you think about what agriculture is today, and if you're going to put a combine on or you're going to put a tractor out there, I mean, these are enormous things. My 16-year-old son, finally, for the first time this year, I allowed him to drive a tractor because the tractor costs more than my house. You know, it's just such an enormous piece of equipment, a big investment, and there's a lot of risk with all that, too. So there's a lot that goes into that. But the other thing is we wanted to have 100 riders on the float, farmers and their families on the float, because when people think about agriculture, and you mentioned this a little bit earlier, you start thinking about the science and all these things that go into it, and people will mention things like GMOs and pesticides. And I just tell non-farmers all the time, look, I mean, those things may play a role in agriculture, but the most important thing, just like it's always been, is the people. So we wanted to highlight the people because when I think about agriculture, I just think about, hey, these are families, family farmers, just trying to feed families across the country.
So 100 farmers or family farmers on the float, you have to, there are certain safety regulations. They all have to be able to get off quickly if necessary. How did you provide for some of the, you know, details that had to go into the planning?
Yeah, when we were working on the design of this float, that was one of the things that we knew in talking to the Rose Parade Committee and the float builders, that we had to get everybody off of there in 45 seconds. So we actually had 8 different spots where people could get off. It was really no problem. We were able to get everybody off in 25 or 30 seconds. But yes, I mean, when you start organizing something that's that big and you have to go through all the security and everything else, just even getting people approved to ride on a Rose Parade float anymore, they have to do background checks, and it doesn't just happen instantly.
Right. So tell me about that day. Then you're sitting there with your brother waving to the crowd. It's not the first time you're on a float, but tell me what 2018 felt like to be, you know, once all the efforts and the organization and the planning has all come together, the pedals have been glued on. What's the day like?
Yeah. So we had to leave the hotel at about 5:30 in the morning, and that's Pacific time. The parade is at 8. The traffic is terrible just getting over to the parade route, but we were at our spot by probably 6:30, even though it was maybe 15 miles. It was just getting that last 1 mile was the difficult thing. But still, we were there way in advance, and everybody's all super excited. I mean, nobody was yawning or anything like that, you know, even though it was early in the morning. I mean, people are just super anxious to have it all go. But the thing is, we were 61st in the parade, and so we had to sit there for about half an hour after the parade started, just kind of waiting for our turn. We kind of inched along, get right to the actual start line, and then something happened, and I don't even know exactly what happened with the mechanics of the float, because these are self-propelled floats. And the drivers could not make it go. So they had to hook up a tow truck to it. And I didn't realize how often Rose Parade floats are towed. As we were going along the parade route, which, by the way, is 5.5 miles, takes over 2 hours to get through it, about every other block, you would see another tow truck just sitting there waiting just in case. Wow. So there was another float this year that had to get towed. I think the record they've had is about 7 floats towed in one of the parades. So that stuff happens.
So were you towed the whole 5.5 miles?
Yep, we were towed the entire way. Yeah, and, you know, I'd been out there for testing with this thing. Everything was fine. The first mile getting up to the actual start line, everything was fine. And then for whatever reason, it didn't go. But the Rose Parade people are great. They're just so well organized. I mean, just my hat's off to them. They do so much work, and almost all their people, the Rose Parade people, they're just volunteers. They do this unpaid. Some of them work hundreds of hours a year just because they think it's a great thing for the community.
Talk a little bit about the feedback that you've gotten in South Dakota coming home, and what people have said about that day, and really, you know, what it meant to them to see a float of this size celebrating the American farmer.
When you think about farmers today, they and really tying in with this whole parade theme, the theme was making a difference. And so when Darren and I saw a year ago that their theme for the coming year was making a difference, since we have the tie to RFD-TV and they broadcast the parade for many years, had a float in there for many years, we just thought, wow, you know, and they gave us the full description. It's making a difference, but it's recognizing people who are kind of unsung heroes in our society, those that do great work without recognition. And we thought, wow, that's exactly what the farmer does. And so with that recognition now that we're trying to give the farmer you know, just in a small way, give some kind of voice to the farmer and a little recognition, the reception's been fantastic. We've had a lot of people. I was just in Montana yesterday even, and it doesn't matter where I go. I've been in Arkansas, Illinois, and Montana, or back here in South Dakota. The reception's been great because, you know, farmers know it. I mean, they know that a lot of the talk in the media is negative toward agriculture. Well, if we can do anything positive that kind of sheds a positive light on just the American farmer in general, it's great. And even riding along in the parade float that day, there were so many people along the route that just said, hey, thank you, farmers, for what you do.
Hmm. What happens after the parade? Everything gets sort of deconstructed and disposed of or recycled or whatnot?
Yeah, it does. So we had seed on there from all 50 states, which was also something very unique. But what we're trying to do and work out with our builder out there is to get that tractor and that combine somehow, some way back to South Dakota. I don't know if that's going to be able to happen. We'd like to be able to do that. But yeah, even with the flowers, what I was told anyway is that they, after like 3 days or 4 days that these flowers have been on there, and by the way, they're all in individual vials of water. So every flower on every single parade float is in an individual vial of water. The amount of hours it takes to put all those things on is unbelievable. But anyway, I was told that they take the flowers that are still good, and then they sell those for charity.
Oh, nice. All right, let's talk more about Ag PhD and what's ahead for the program. Do you have, you know, how do you kind of keep your core vision and mission central to the production of the show?
Well, what we have always stood for is we're trying to help farmers produce more yield and make a profit. And by the way, the third thing that we're always trying to do is talk about how to improve the land and the environment along the same way. So there are many things that we could potentially do on the farm that aren't necessarily the right thing for our land or the environment. So we've got to make sure that something is fitting all three of those things. But we talk an awful lot about controlling weeds and diseases and insects. We talk about seed that's going to go in the ground, a tremendous amount about fertility and just overall land management. And that really hasn't changed. We've been doing the TV show for 20 years now. And while some of the methods have changed, the ultimate goal has always been and will always continue to be the same. But it's super exciting because I look at even our own farm from when we started 20 years ago, we've more than doubled our yield. Profit, I mean, that can go up and down depending on commodity prices and everything, but it's just we can start the year locking in a profit if we were to sell the crop that we expect to raise. And many times going through like the 1990s, 20 years ago, we didn't have those kind of opportunities. Even I brought this up to quite a few people here lately. You know, you think about, okay, people are complaining that today's commodity prices aren't what they would like them to be. And I just said, do you remember what the corn price was in the fall of 2005? That was only just over 12 years ago. I know exactly what it was because I was so upset that the corn price was so low. I told people, I will burn up my corn before I will sell it at this price. And I bought a corn furnace, and I heated my house with that at a much lower price than propane. But anyway, the point is it was $1.30 for corn, $1.30, and that was just over 12 years ago. And so we quickly forget how tough times were not that long ago. And, you know, today we have corn price around $3. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough with our costs and everything, but still, there's just a tremendous amount of opportunity in agriculture, and I'm really looking forward to the future.
We've talked quite a bit on this program about the 2018 Farm Bill and what needs to happen for South Dakota farmers coming out of Washington in the months ahead. Do you have thoughts on that? What kind of questions we should be asking and how South Dakotans should look at that conversation debate?
Well, I would just say this, regardless of whatever the politicians come up with, our job on the farm is to try to produce more food for the world and to make some money at the same time. So we just, I guess I'll put it to you this way. Our dad often told us, you got to focus on what you do and quit worrying so much about what everybody else is doing and what everybody else is talking about, because he just said, if you can really focus on your farm and do a great job on the agronomy side, you're going to produce more crop, and that's going to mean you're going to continue to survive in the future. And, yep, there are going to be some down times and some good times, but you just have to try to do the very best you can each and every day. And, you know, that's one of the things, too, when I talk to non-farmers anymore, some of them think, oh, I just, as a farmer, work for a couple months in the spring, a couple months in the fall, and I got the rest of the year off. You know, I just remember growing up on the farm, we were hard at work every single day. It was, and even today, I mean, almost every day, I'm up early and I'm working in the evenings a lot of times. It's a lifestyle kind of thing that farmers really like. They really enjoy it. It's just more rewarding when we do get paid for all that we're doing throughout the year. But again, no, I don't know what to tell you about the Farm Bill. I guess, like I say, I just try to focus on improving our own operation, and that's as much as I can do.
Brian Hefty, one of the creators and hosts of Ag PhD, will put a video link to, or a link to the video of the Rose Parade float so you can see that. Thanks, Brian, so much for being here. Come back anytime.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.